please, and turn to Genesis chapter 30, if you will. Anybody need a worksheet to not receive one? Slip your hand up. They'll come by and give you one. And for folks who are visiting with us, we're working our way through what I've called the life of faith. We started out with Abraham, whose legacy was he believed God and was counted to him for righteousness. And we have gone through the life of Abraham, his son, the promised one, Isaac, who was born when he was 100 years old, and his wife was 90. And if you don't think that was from God, you better go back and check. But now we are to his son, Jacob, who will eventually be Israel. And we are seeing some things, and Jacob was a mess. He was a twin brother to Esau, and they both were kind of a mess. The difference was that Esau really, you know, didn't give a hoot whether he had God's blessing on his life or not. And Jacob, who really, in some ways, was kind of a more of a mess than Esau was, he wanted God's touch. So you see, it's not a, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saves us by the washing of regeneration of the Holy Spirit. Now listen, the fact is, God knows that there's none righteous, but God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, not only does he know that we're not righteous when he saves us, he also knows we're not going to be perfectly righteous, until the day we meet him face to face in glory. So that means he not only saved us, but he keeps us in spite of who we are. And in fact, he wants to walk through our life with us if we'll let him. Now, we talked about, we sang that first song, perfect submission, perfect delight. Perfect submission, all is at rest. We know the song, we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we've laid. The fight, listen, the victory that we're looking for in life is not in the fight, it's in the surrender to who God is. And so Jacob is, we're seeing some things here in the life of Jacob. And yes, I agree, he's a mess. And he's going to do some things here a little bit different. But there's a promise of God. Now, God has given a promise to Jacob that he hasn't necessarily given to all of us. It's an unconditional promise he gave to Abraham, his granddaddy, that God's going to bless them that bless them, going to bless those who bless him and curse those who curse him, that God was going to make them a great nation. God made the covenant. God said, it's all one-sided here. This is, I am going to make it happen. You say, why did God do that? To show the rest of the world that God keeps his word. Because you know what happens? We go, I know God keeps his word, but you know what? I did this and I did this. He probably doesn't want to talk to me. Well, he might not be happy with you right now, but he's not finished with you. In fact, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, a couple of verses before that says, if you say you have no sin, the truth is not in it. You're calling God a liar. We're all sinners. We shouldn't sin and practice much of it. You know, we shouldn't do it at all if it all helped. But the fact is, there's some things we sin we don't even know about. God loves us, and he wants to keep us. Now, we're going to see some verses here, and let me kind of walk through some things. We're going to start in Genesis chapter 30. I'm going to begin in verse number 25. Now, if you remember, Jacob decided, he kind of was an opportunist. His brother Esau was actually the oldest. He was born first. And so the promise of God from Abraham down to Isaac was to go to Esau. But Esau was out hunting one day, and he thought, you know, I'm just really tired. And he walked in, and Jacob was making some soup. And he said, man, give me some soup, or I'm just going to die. And Jacob said, oh, is that right? Is that bad? Huh? I'll tell you what, I'll give you a bowl of soup for your birthright. I'll give you a bowl of soup, and you give me the blessing that God's going to put on you that's supposed to be coming down from Abraham, from granddaddy Abraham. And Esau says, well, if I'm dead, what good is a blessing? So, all right, I'll go ahead. Well, he wasn't going to die. You know, it's kind of like when the kids come in from playing. I'm going to starve to death. Give me a drink of water. I'm not going to, you know how it is. I mean, come on. So after a bowl of soup, Esau's fine. So he really wasn't that bad. But he lost the birthright. With the birthright, he lost the blessing. Now Jacob kind of, he was going to get the blessing, but he and his mama decided they wanted to get the blessing. And you know all the story. He kind of pulled a fast one over on Daddy because Daddy couldn't see anymore. And he pretended he was Esau. So Isaac put the blessing on Jacob rather than Esau. Well, Esau didn't like that. Esau didn't care about his relationship with the Lord. He just wanted what God was going to give him. And he realized he missed the blessing. And he said, you know what? When Daddy's dead, you're a dead man too, Jacob. So Mama tells Jacob, so you better get out of town because Esau's not happy. So Jacob goes back to his mama's people, back to Padamaram, and finds a wife named Rachel. And Rachel, he serves, well, her father Laban, his mother's brother. I know it's kind of weird, but that's the way it was back then. He says, I'll serve you 7 years for her. And Laban said, fine. So he served 7 years, and when it came down for the honeymoon night, it was dark and so forth. Her older sister Leah comes into the tent instead of Rachel. So now all of a sudden he's got the wrong wife, and Laban did it. And so he's been dealing some pretty dirty with him over the years. Now he worked another 7 years and got Rachel. And they had the kids, and we talked about all this and so forth and all these things. So after all these things, all the boys are born, well, all but Benjamin, the last one. Joseph's been born, and that's where we come to in verse 25 of chapter 30. So he has 11 sons. It says, and it came to pass when Rachel had born Joseph, that Jacob said unto Laban, send me away that I may go into mine own place, into my country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served thee, and let me go, for thou knowest my service which I have done thee. He said, I've been working well, and you know that, and the kids are all here. It's time for me to get my own place. And Laban said unto him, this is an important verse, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. Laban said, you know what, I don't know, but seemingly ever since you've been here, Jacob, everything's been good, and business has been good. We're doing pretty well. I hate to mess up this situation. And it feels like, I'll be honest with you, I think God's blessing. Well, wait a minute. God's going to bless Jacob because he got the blessing from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob. God's going to do that. And God's going to bless those that bless him. He's going to curse those that curse him. Now he says, by experience I found the Lord blesses me for thy sake. Verse 28. And he said, appoint me thy wages and I will give it. You name it and I'll give it. Now, we're going to read a little while later here that Jacob didn't say, okay, here's how much I want. He's going to do a deal here. The reason is because later we find out that Laban had made a couple deals and changed his wages 10 times. So Laban not really can't be trusted. And so Jacob says, all right, here's what we'll do. Verse 29, and he said to him, thou knowest that I have served thee and how thy cattle was with me. For it was little when thou hast It was little which thou hast before I came, and is now increased into a multitude, and the Lord hath blessed thee since my coming. And now when shall I provide for my own house? I mean, I've been blessing you, but you've been making all the money. I mean, I got two wives and the two maids of those wives and 11 kids, and it's about time I get a place of my own, make some money that's for me. And he said, verse 31, what shall I give thee? And Jacob said, thou shalt not give me anything if thou wilt do this thing for me, and I will feed, and I'll keep feeding the flock and keeping the flock. I will pass through all thy flock today, removing from thence all the speckled and spotted cattle, and all the brown cattle among the sheep, and the spotted and the speckled among the goats, and of such shall be my hire. He says, I'm going to take, now you didn't have most of these before I came. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the ones that have spots and streaks on them, and those will be mine, and the pure colored ones will be yours. Verse 33, and so shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come, when it shall come for my hire before thy face, everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the sheep, that shall be counted stolen with me. He said, I'll work hard, and I'll take what I get out of the deal there. I think I'm going to do all right, but I'll take out of the deal. And you find any of those that you know, that are pure colored that I'm not supposed to have, you can count them as stolen. They're not mine, they're yours. I will make sure you get what you're supposed to have. Verse 34, and Laban said, behold, would it might be according to thy word. He says, I think we can do this. But watch, verse 35. And he removed, talking about Laban, he removed that day the he-goats that were ring-streaked and spotted, and all the she-goats that were speckled and spotted, and everyone that had some white in it, and all the brown among the sheep, and gave them into the hand of his sons, into the hands of Laban's sons. We'll explain all this in a little while. And he set 3 days' journey betwixt himself and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks. And Jacob took him rods of, this is weird, we'll discuss this, and Jacob took him rods of green poplar, of the hazel and the chestnut tree, and peeled the white streaks in them, and made the white appearance which was in the rods. And he set the rods which he had peeled before the flocks in the gutters in the water troughs when the flocks came to drink, that they should conceive when they came to drink. And the flocks conceived before the rods and brought forth cattle. And the ring streaks speckled spotted. And Jacob did separate the lambs and set the faces of the flocks toward the ring streak. And all the brown the flock of Laban, and he put his own flocks by themselves and put them not unto Laban's cattle. And it came to pass, whensoever the stronger cattle did conceive, that Jacob laid the rods before the eyes of the cattle in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. But when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in, and for the feeble were Laban's, and the stronger Jacob's. And a man increased exceedingly, and had much cattle, and maidservants, and men servants, and camels, and asses. Now, we will probably go a little further into the next chapter, but that's kind of tedious there. We'll explain how it works. But here's what we're going to talk about tonight. God sees. Now, you almost preached my message. You were getting into that this morning in Sunday school. God sees when you're doing right. God sees when you're doing wrong. God sees you and somebody else at the same time. See, sometimes, well, God sees me. Well, he's not looking at what everybody else was. No, he is. God sees. He's looking to and fro, seeing whom he can bless. God sees. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for the truths here. And Lord, help us to learn these things, and may it be a blessing to our folks here. And may we have trust and faith in you and realize you see. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Doing right is the right thing to do. But sometimes we can feel that we are not making any progress doing right. We get weary in well-doing. We can even be tempted to do wrong in the hopes of accomplishing some good. Maybe we are tempted to skip town to escape the situation. We are tempted to get angry because things do not seem fair to us. And life can be difficult, it can be confusing, and when we're not walking according to the Word of God, sometimes, even when we have been walking with God, there are times when we have to just trust God and do right, even if we do not understand what God is trying to do. Give God time. He will make things right. Again, I know I quoted this morning, but Paul says, I glory in the tribulations also, knowing that the tribulations works my patience. It makes me wait on God. But that patience, and I wait on God, he says, the patience brings experience. I see God work. So many people don't see God work because they don't wait on God to work. He said, I've waited, I've had patience, I've seen him work. And experience, because God's always true, brings hope. So the next time there's a problem, I have hope because I've been there, done that. I've got a T-shirt, got the teaspoon and the thimble and everything else you can buy at all those gift shops. I've been there, done that, seen it. And God's going to take care of it. You know what? And I'm not ashamed to wait again, because hope maketh not ashamed. If you could hold your place in Genesis, I want you to see something real quick in the book of Psalms, verse 37, chapter 37, verse number 1. We see God's word on this. Psalm 37:1. Look at the principle here. It says, fret not, worry not. Don't get yourself all in an uproar. Chapter 37, Psalm 37, verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Folks are doing wrong. Maybe they're doing it wrong to you. He says, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Why are they getting their... For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Here's what we're supposed to do. Trust in the Lord and do good. Just trust Him and keep doing right. Trust Him and keep doing right, according to His definition. Trust the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land. And verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as noonday. Watch. Your faith and your trust in God will be seen in the end, and folks will know that you were right trusting God and doing right, even if it didn't make any sense at the moment. And it's all sudden they're going to say, look at that. Now, how did you know that was going to happen? I didn't know. There's one thing I did know. I'm supposed to trust the Lord and do right. Well, what does that have to do with that? I'll tell you what the connection is. That God is going to take care of that. That God told me I'm supposed to trust Him and do right. And so the connection is God. My job is to do right, whether what I'm doing looks like it has any connection to what needs to be done over here or not. Because that the connection is that God did it, not me. A real live God. Verse 7, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of a man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. In other words, trust God to take care of it. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, they shall diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in abundance of peace. Watch, the meek, not the fighters. The meek, not the proud. The meek, not the arrogant. The meek, not the one who thinks everybody owes them something. The meek, not the one who thinks they all have to measure up to my standards. The meek. Verse 12, the wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. Now, have you ever thought you were being taken advantage of? Maybe your boss seems to be using you for his profit and being a little less than generous in the wages, less than generous in respect and his promotions. This is everyday life. God sees. This is often the way it is early in life, by the way. You got young couples, and there's other times in our life sometimes it happens this way. But it's often like it is early in life, and while you're trying to establish a household and establish a family, you work hard and you seem to be moving slowly, if at all. And sometimes this happens later in life, in other areas of life. But God sees. Let me show you number one, the early times. Number one, the early times. Serving in the early years of our walk with God often seems, here it is, letter A, fruitless. The early times seem fruitless. I don't know about you, there was times when you're trying to make a living, you're trying to get life going, and you seem like no matter what you do, you just can't get ahead. And as soon as you think you're going to get ahead, you put some money in the bank, something happens with the car, and it brings it all, it takes it all down, you're starting from scratch again. So, well, God, are you going to bless? Oh, I'm blessed. Are you still alive? Well, yeah, I'm still alive. Well, yeah, but I don't want to just be alive. Janet and I kind of watch HGTV. And you see all these people trying to get the house of their dreams. And you got all these young couples. We've been watching the Property Brothers. You know, have you ever watched the Property Brothers? We got Hulu. and we put that on there once in a while. And they're in there, and you got these young people. We want the dream wedding and the dream house, and they want it all. And one of the things they do, which I think is really mean, but the first thing they do is they take them to a house that has everything they want. And let's say they have, and some of these, I don't know where they, what kind of jobs they have. They've got these young couples, and their budget for a house is like $500,000. My soul. That's not even, I'm 58 years old. That's not in my budget now. But $500,000 for this thing. And, of course, they work in California. They're in California. Everything's high over there. So he'll take them out to some house, and they say, oh, this is wonderful, and this is wonderful. No, 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 this is exactly what I want. Now it says, well, what's $1.95 million for this house? And, you know, we can see what the world has out there. We see things, and we say, well, I want that, we want that, and we're trying to get ahead. I remember when I was working on staff down at Church Open Door in Westminster, we didn't have a whole lot of money, and we were tight, and we had kids, like I said, money was tight, and Dr. Smith, a couple years in a row, if I remember, at least two, maybe three, he says, things are a little tight here at the church, and so we're not going to give any raises this year. Well, that's fine for him. He was already making three times what I was making. But we were barely making. Don't you mean we're not going to get a raise? I was just kind of hoping I was going to get my head above water this year. We've got a little bit of a raise. It's only a few $100, but it was going to help. Sometimes the early years, letter B, can be hard and difficult. Hard and difficult. You're trying to make. Now listen, tell you what's happening though. God is doing a work in our life. Well, you know what he's doing? He's working your patience. He's given you tribulation time, and he's working your patience. And you know what he wants to do? He wants to give you an experience. Well, I don't want the experience. I will just give it to me right now, and I'll give you credit for it. No, it's not gonna have the impact that we wanted to have until we go through the experience. Because when you've been through the experience and you come out the other side and you're still alive and God's taking care of you, there's hope. And there's a hope that comes in your heart that doesn't come for any other reason except that you've been through the tribulation. Now, in our passage there in Genesis chapter 30, it says that it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph, that Jacob said unto Laban, send me away, and that I may go into my own place. He says, it's about time I have my own place, a place of my own, and to my country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served thee. In other words, you've owned me all this. That word serving means I've been a bond slave. You've owned me. You owe me lock, stock, and barrel. I've been working for you, and really I have nothing. I live off of you. I don't have a house of my own. I don't really have flocks of my own. I don't have anything of my own. I've been working all this time. And the fact is, God's been, and he knew, God's been blessing Laban for him. And he said, you know what? I've done everything I'm supposed to do. Let me go and have my own place. For thou knowest my service, which I've done to thee. In other words, he had been hardworking, faithful to his duties. Now, Jacob was to work 7 years for Rachel, but was given Leah instead. And so Jacob had to work another 7 years for Rachel. Now, some folks may have taken Rachel and left town right then. You think about it. You wake up in the morning and he's put the wrong woman in your tent. And you say, was Leah pretty? Well, she had nice eyes. Kind of what the Bible said. Well, she had nice eyes. And Rachel was a, she was a looker. He liked Rachel. And Leah was a nice gal, I guess, but she wasn't what the one he had signed up for here. And so her daddy said, well, you know, we don't give away the younger daughter before the older daughter. So here you go. So he works another 7 years. I'll be honest with you. There's some guys would have just said, listen, if he's going to slip the wrong girl in the tent in the middle of the night, he may just slip out of town with both, you know, with the right girl in the middle of the night. He could have. He didn't. He worked for another 7 years to get Rachel. He patiently fulfilled a second 7 years. You think about what good is a blessing if you don't feel blessed? And sometimes early in our lives, and sometimes in the middle of our lives, or even late in our lives, we say, well, I thought we were supposed to be blessed. I don't feel real blessed. What good is a blessing if I don't feel blessed? Whether we feel blessed or whether we don't feel blessed, we are blessed. God is doing a work in our life whether we feel it or not. We will see the blessing in due time. Because you see, if you don't go through the experience, you don't have the hope. You keep doing right according to the Lord's definition of right. Trust in the Lord and do good. Letter C. There's a time to sow. There's a time to sow. You know what it means to sow? It means to plant. And again, Nathan was kind of working on my message here this morning. You plant something, you don't get it tomorrow. God's doing a work, and He's planting something in your heart. Sometimes what we're doing is planting, quote unquote, trust coupons, if you will. We're trusting God, and one of these days we're going to be able to clip those coupons. Why? Because God said He's going to be faithful. But right now it doesn't seem like He's faithful. We're stuck. We're sowing. These early days in our lives are days of sowing. The Lord will give us the days of reaping later. Galatians 6:7 says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto all them who are of the household of faith." What are we saying? Just because we're not reaping yet doesn't mean we never will. If God's given His promise, God's given His promise. It doesn't mean that the crop of blessings are not just because we're not reaping doesn't mean they aren't germinating out there. Doesn't mean they're not growing. This is a lot of faith. It's kind of like ducks on a pond. But underneath they're going, you know? We may not see any movement from God, but He's working in the background. And there's a whole lot of things going on that we don't know about. Letter D. A time to learn faithfulness. See, in these early days, it can be hard. It's difficult. Seems fruitless. But what are we doing? It's a time to sow. And it's a time to learn faithfulness. These are the days we learn to be faithful. These are the days we prove our faithfulness, if you will. These are the days we learn to glory in the tribulations because they're going to work patience and patient experience, hindsight, and experience hope. The reaping will come later. If we faint not, stick with it. Number two. This is a time to learn that God's promises are still true. This is a time we learn that God's promises are still true. You know what? See, why don't He just give it to me and I'll give Him the glory? No, He wants your heart. He wants it to be real right down to your toes, all the way down. We heard some testimonies this morning. We're going to hear a few more next week. He wants to grab us where we are and shake us sometimes. What good is a blessing if it is the others around me that are being blessed? Did you ever notice that? You say, well, you know, I'm working hard. I told you the story about this one time, and it's true. We had a big preacher's conference, and I was the music director down at Open Door Westminster, and my job was to make sure everybody's lined up, know what they're doing. I had the music all lined up. I'm going to lead the singing, and the platform's all set, and I'm running around here. And at that point, I wasn't the senior pastor. Dr. Smith was. So Dr. Smith was doing what I get to do now. He's just walking around, seeing people, how you doing, you know, and having a good time, howdy, 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 you know. Everybody's patting him on the back, saying, how wonderful this is. This is a wonderful thing. Oh, you have a wonderful place here, you know. And boy, that meal that you had today, that was tremendous. Well, you're welcome. I said, Bill, can we have a meal? He said, all right, we'll take care of it. You know, so, but he was getting all the credit and so forth. And when the conference got all done, the meeting that morning, he says, now we're all going to, now some of you knew what was going westward. There was a place across the street called Horn and Horn Smorgasbord. I don't know whether you remember those. It's Horn and Horn Smorgasbord. And he says, I'm going to take all the preachers, my treat, over there for horn smorgasbord. Now, he said, now, if you all want, if anybody else wants to come, that's fine. But I wasn't considering, I was a music, I wasn't considering one of the preachers. And I won't get into all that, but I wasn't really considered one of the preachers. And so they all get up, and they all go to horn. Now, it was early. I didn't have any money. I can't afford to go to horn. And they all left, and I'm cleaning up the platform. Put the microphones away, and I'd go to horn. I like shrimp. They fry steaks for you right there. Horn. And I thought, you know what? Doggone it. I'm just going to go to horn. I'll pay my own way. I went out in the parking lot, and there was a young preacher boy. He was in college. Now, I was married, had a couple kids. We didn't have a lot of money. But I know what college preacher boys, they don't have anything. I mean, they eat ramen noodles every night. You know, I mean, it's not good. And I said, hey, you going to go over and eat the horn? Well, I don't know. I'll pay. Yeah. So we went to horn. And we sat down. We had a good time. I let this preacher sit over there all by themselves. And we sat next to the steak place there. And we had a good time. And you know what? When I got back, I went into the back up to my mailbox there, and I opened my mailbox, and there was an envelope in there. And we had stayed a long time. Anyway, picked out that envelope and opened it up, and it was a little note from Dr. Smith. And he said, here's some money for lunch. Sorry, I didn't invite you. And it was enough to pay for me and the boy, and a little more for tip. Now, just like that, God sees. Now, you know what I wanted to do? I wanted to get up to that little beady-eyed fella, called my pastor, and said, what do you mean? I'm doing all the work here, and I don't even get a lunch? What's the matter with you? Don't you know what I do around here? Listen, you wouldn't look so good if I wasn't around here cleaning up everything, making sure it happened. You know, that's what my old flesh said. My old flesh said. Now, you say, are you like that now? No. Not usually. Unless you're going to horn, don't invite me. But, no, I learned. I didn't like learning. God takes care of us. Now watch me. Letter B. The covenant is still in effect. God made a deal. That deal hasn't changed. Now Jacob is stuck in a mess here. He's got two wives and these other two women, and you know it's not where he wanted to be. And now he's having to kind of work some more and didn't really like it. But the covenant is still in effect. Look at verse 27. Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry. For I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. And he said, appoint me thy wages. And Jacob should be reminded of God's covenant by this statement. If Jacob didn't already remember that he was being blessed, even Laban saw it. I've been blessed because of you. Oh, God's going to bless those that bless me and curse those that curse me. First, letter C. We can see the hand of God if we look back. Look at verse 29. And he said unto him, thou knowest how I have served thee, Jacob said, and how thy cattle was with me, for it was little which thou hadst before I came. You didn't have much when I showed up here. And the Lord hath blessed thee since my coming. And now when shall I provide for mine own house also? He gets a little impatient. Number two, be careful not to become impatient. And I tell you what, Jacob's right on the edge there of becoming impatient. He said, you're living high on a hog because I showed up in town. I think it's about time. Letter D. The promises are still for us. The promises are still for us. Why does it seem that the covenant is helping everybody but me? Everybody's getting along fine but me. Jacob feels that God has blessed Laban because of him, but Jacob has little to show for it personally, and so now is the time to look out for himself, so he thinks. He has done well. He's increased Laban's net worth, but Jacob is still only a hired hand with nothing much of his own. And sometimes we feel like we're laboring and doing right and have not gotten any farther along ourselves. But wait a minute. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water. Watch. Who shall bring forth fruit in his season. You stick with God. Also, your leaf shall not wither. Whatsoever you do shall prosper. You stick with God. God's going to make sure it's going to come out on the end. Not today. We're sowing today. But we will reap. Number three. Now, this is a strange little thing here. This is weird. We probably won't get much further than this tonight. God gives Jacob insight. This is a strange little set of passages here. God's going to give Jacob some insight. Look at verse 31. And he said, "What shall I give thee?" And Jacob said, "Thou shalt not give me anything if thou wilt do this thing for me. I will again feed and keep thy flock. And I will pass through all thy flock today, removing from them all the speckled and the spotted cattle." Cattle was a kind of a generic term for a bunch of animals that you have around the farm, okay? "All the spotted cattle and all the brown cattle among the sheep." See, they're calling the cattle sheep cattle. "And the spotted and the speckled among the goats." In other words, leaving all the pure colored animals there. "And of such shall be my hire." In other words, those are mine and the rest are yours. "And everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the sheep, that shall be counted stolen with me." Deuteronomy 8:18 says this, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day." What he's saying is, I'll take care of you because I made a promise. You've got to get from here to there. You're going to need whatever funds you need to get from here to there. I'll take care of that. God's going to take care of what he asks you to do. Where God guides, he provides. That's really what he's saying. And so God says, I'm going to take care of you. And so he says, all right, here's what we're going to do. Letter B. Laban takes it upon himself to kind of rightly divide the animals so there's no funny business. Watch what happens. Laban said, "Behold, I would it might be according to thy word." He says, okay, I'll tell you what. All the spotted and the streaked animals are yours. And all the ones that are not spotted and streaked are mine. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Look what he says. "And he removed," Laban, "that day the he-goats that were ring-streaked and spotted, and all the she-goats that were speckled and spotted, and every one that had some white in it, and all the brown among the sheep, and gave them into the hand of his sons. And he set 3 days' journey betwixt him and Jacob, and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks." So what happens is, Don't get tied bogged down with this. But we got all these animals. Some of them are all kind of spotted, you know, and they're, you know, streaks and all this stuff, or white spot here, whatever. And then there's the ones that are pure color. And Jacob says, "I'll take the ones that are spotted. You keep the ones that are pure." He said, "Fine." But here's what he's going to do. Laban goes out and he gets all the ones that are spotted out of the flock himself. He gives them to his sons and says, "Take them down the road here 3 days' journey so they can't get close to the other ones." So he says, "I'm going to let Jacob run my flock, and he can have all the spotted ones, but I'm not going to give him any spotted ones to start with." That's what he did. Now, that's just the kind of guy Laban was. No wonder Jacob wanted to get out of town. He said, "Well, that's crazy. What am I going to do?" And he couldn't see any way of this working. But Jacob decided God knows what he's doing, and he goes about it. Now, won't get in all the genetics here. But apparently the spotted was all kind of the recessive genes, and you got the dominant and all this stuff. The plain colored ones had the recessive gene, but it wasn't showing up. So they came out complete. But when you bring them all together, every once in a while, two recessives came together and they had spots. Now, this might sound a little strange, but he said what he did was he took these different kinds of sticks and he kind of peeled the bark off. And he stuck it in the water trough when they came to drink. Now, there was an old wives' tale that was going on. I don't know why they talked about old wives' tales, not the old man's tales. But an old wives' tale that said that if you what they saw when they were conceiving would change. So if they saw a spotted stick when they were conceiving, they'd have spotted animals. You know, well, we know that's not the case. But there was something. And see, now Jacob is going to put these in here, and he's kind of trying to pull one over on him. What he didn't know is God kind of guided him, even though he wasn't being totally honest. But I mean, he wasn't really doing anything wrong. I mean, he was trying to, but wasn't doing anything wrong. He just said, I'm going to see what we can do here. This is what they say happened. There were certain saps in those trees that changed. For instance, what a mother eats. If a mother's on drugs, it can affect the child. It turns on and turns off certain DNA, certain genes, if you will. Now, I'm not the science person. My son's the science person, but he'll straighten me out when we get through there. But it can actually change. And so what they think happened was this happened to be the bark that and the saps that was in it actually caused certain the dominant genes to kind of relax, so to speak, and the recessive gene was allowed to come to the front. And so they ended up with a whole bunch of spotted animals. A bunch of them. Now, not only that, but Jacob decides, we're going to read it here in a second, he decided, I'll tell you what, we'll do that when the good, strong animals are there. So the ones that are born are good and strong. And when the weak ones come up to it, well, he can have those. I'm not putting in my sticks. He can have that bunch. And so then the dominant gene took over. And so all the pure colored ones were scrawny. And then you had all the speckled ones, which were strong and healthy. Kind of crazy, but that's what they say happened. Let's just say this, God knew what he was doing. Oh, we can do this. Number five. Cursed for being blessed. Cursed. For being blessed. You know how it is sometimes you feel like I'm finally looking for a blessing and finally God blesses. And all of a sudden, now you get in trouble for being blessed. Letter A, the blessings of God can stir envy and hatred among the unblessed. Genesis 31, what happened was there was a great bunch of striped and speckled animals and a few scrawny ones that had the pure coats. And all of a sudden, they said, wait a minute, something's not right here. Look at this. Well, you know what? Let me go back to... Okay, that's right. Okay. Verse 1. And he heard the words of Laban's son saying this, Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's, and all that which was our father's hath he gotten all his glory. And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him anymore as before. And the Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land, the Lord said, return to the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. Now wait a minute. What good is the blessing if I'm hated and cursed because of it? Well, it's still good to have the blessing. You're going to get hated and cursed anyway. Listen. It sounds funny, but this is what anti-Semitism is. They're just mad at Israel. Why? They're just mad at them. They're God's people. We're mad at them. It's weird, you know, it's crazy, but it's not. Wait a minute. Why should Israel have that land? Because God gave it to them again. Wait a minute, that's our land. You took all our land. You took our oil. You took all this. That's not fair. God gave it. He did. Now, people want the blessings of God without having to be the people of God. And so we think that we can get rid of God's people. God will bless us instead, so they think. And that's kind of what's going on here. Now, I'm not going to labor that a whole lot. Let me give you number six. I'm going to see a time of testing. A time of testing. God, letter A, has not left you, even if everyone else wants to get rid of you. Here he is. Nobody likes him again. I mean, he moved there because nobody liked him. Now he's over here. He's in trouble. Nobody likes him again. He's got to head out of town. But God has not left you, even if everyone else wants to get rid of you. Look at verse 4. And Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field unto his flock. And he said to them, I see your father's countenance that is not toward me as before. But God of my father hath been with me. He said, he's seeing it. He's looking now. What's happened? The trial has come. He's been reaping. He's been sowing. Now he's starting to reap. And he's seen. He's got the experience. There's something happening. God has been with me. Number two, Jacob has been serving well, even in less than desirable circumstances. He's worked hard several times. You know what I've done here. You know I keep your sheep. I'll take care of them. Watch letter B. God protects during times of testing. It might not have been totally fair. God didn't allow any significant damage to Jacob. He didn't. Verse 6. And he says, and you know that with all my power I served your father. And your father hath deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But God suffered him not to hurt me. Now, wait a minute. Just because you're not seeing the blessing yet, you're still in the time of sowing, you're in the time of testing, doesn't mean God has left you. He's still there. He's going to still protect you. He's got to get you from here to there because he has given his word. So he protects us during the time of testing. Letter C. God was going to bless no matter what. This is wonderful. God was going to bless because God had given his promise. Letter 8. If he said thus, the speckled shall be thy wages, then all the cattle bear speckled. And if he said thus, the ringstrake shall be thy hire, then bear the cattle, the cattle ringstrake. Thus God hath taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me. What's happened? God blesses those who blessed him. God curses them who curse him. Now that's not our promise. That was a promise to Abraham. But if God has given us a promise, you can bank on the fact that the promise is going to be true. He's going to hold up to his promise. And he said, listen, I don't care which one your daddy wanted. If he decided he wanted them and I was going to get the other, God would have worked it out. I would have still been on top. Letter D. Well, I'm going to give Proverbs 13:22. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Jacob was trying to do dirty. I'm sorry. Laban's trying to do dirty to Jacob. And he says, I'll give you your wages, but I'm not going to give you any sheep to start with. Thinking you're not going to get any speckled sheep and striped sheep if you don't have any to start with. God says, you listen, I'll take the wealth of the sinner and take care of the one who's faithful, if that's what I have to do. Letter D. God led Jacob in what to do. Look at verse 10. And it came to pass at the time that the cattle conceived that, this is Jacob talking, I lifted up mine eyes, and I saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the cattle were ringstraked, speckled, and grizzled. And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, here I am. And he said, lift up now thine eyes and see. All the rams which leap upon the cattle are ringstraked, speckled, and grizzled. For I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. I am the God of Bethel. Remember Bethel, where he found that God, where Jacob's ladder came down? Where thou anointest a pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. Letter E, if we wait for God, if we wait, God will reveal what he wants us to do. Jacob said, God told him which ones to have. He says, these are ones. He said, I saw them I don't want to get, you know, inappropriate here, but he said, I saw in the dream which ones were having babies, and it was the streaked ones and the spotted ones. And so it was like, that's the ones you want, Jacob. That's the ones you want, Jacob. God says, I'll take care of you. Number 7, we're all done. The time of blessing. The time of blessing. God sees what has been going on. Well, the last verse there, in verse 12, he said, I've seen what Laban's been doing to you. You know what? They were going through all this problem. And you know, there's times when you go through all these issues, you say, I wonder if God sees this. Why is he letting this happen? Why? I mean, I've been here, listen, 7 years for Leah. I thought it was for Rachel, then 7 more years for Rachel. And now this. And by the way, this didn't happen overnight. They had to, you know, it was building up. This was some time they had to go through the process for these sheep to have babies. And you think, what's going to happen? In the time, and God says, in due time, you shall reap if you faint not. You stick with me. God sees what's going on. We think that God has forgotten us, and he's left us out in the wilderness. But God knows what to do, how to do it, and when to do it. In Psalm 37, it says, commit thy way unto him, and thy thoughts shall be established. He will bring it to pass. Fret not because of evildoers. Trust in the Lord and do good. And so shall thou dwell in the land. God saw how Laban was treating Jacob. And if we will follow God's directions, God will make things right in the long run. And it may be a long run. But you stick with him. Because God sees. Father, thank you for speaking to us here this evening. Principle we need to understand. Even when we don't see anything happening, God sees. God knows what's going on. He knows those who are doing right. He knows those who are trying to do wrong. He knows those who walk in faith and those who don't. God sees. Thank you, Lord, for seeing. Thank you, Lord, for seeing. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.